This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the 3 o'clock hour. We go in full attack mode here on Overtime. 106.7 The Fan, been bumping Team 9, rolling with Team 980, and we are, of course, honored to welcome our rude guest hotline, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Welcome my old tag team partner, Scott Jackson. And again, as a big booster of ODU, and this time of the year, man, it's got to be magical for you as a schoolboy, hoopster, Dapper Dan kind of guy. This still special for you?
Yeah, it's fun. Although I think this year, you know, maybe it's just this year. We'll you know, you got to give it a couple seasons. But I have a feeling this is the break-off point of where NIL really impacts the big boys' separation ability versus the mid-majors. I mean, it'll be the first time we haven't had, you know, I think it's in 8 years, anything from a 13 or above seed in the second round. You know, we've got some 12s still standing, but, you know, I think we're seeing that. Big Ten's really been rolling. They've been covering in addition to winning. It's not one thing just winning, but also covering. We haven't seen the buzzer beaters, the close finishes. So it's going to really, from the mid-major level, I think this is a wake-up call. I mean, is what you're dealing with right now. You know, when you hear things like Louisville season ends and they're going to talk about, you know, increasing their payroll to $8 to $9 million next year and all the millions that was wasted at NC State this year for a team that couldn't even, you know, win in the sorry ACC. It just shows you the arms race is out of control, and it's not going to get any easier anytime soon for the have-nots. I mean, you're really going to have to have some big-time budgets to make this thing work.
So the Kevin Willard pressure didn't really surprise you?
No, I mean, it was kind of weird, right? But it wasn't the most awkward presser in that previous 24 hours. So that, of course, was, you know, my man at McNeese State, you know, Will Wade, who essentially just smiled and said he was going to NC State, and everybody just thought, okay, whatever. I mean, that's the weirdest one, and just how sloppily that was handled. I mean, Ryan Odom, at least he played the game the right way and said, we'll talk about it when the season's over. And, of course, he was gone within, like, 15 minutes of the season being over. But and we all knew that was going to happen. But it's just the way of the world now with this whole thing. I mean, I think he was very honest. It was a weird situation. And you know what? He had an opportunity there with what was going on with the AD. He can really kind of, you know, stick his elbows out and grab his real estate in this situation, right? Because he kind of has the hammer right now. So – and again, he's not wrong what he's saying. It's just, you know, these are things that in the past we wouldn't see set out public. This is what you had agents for and, you know, things like that. They kind of were in behind the scenes. But, you know, it's a whole different world now. It's, you know, it's kind of it's messy for sure, but it's legal messy now.
Well, you know, we're coming off the most favorable football season we've experienced in some while. I'll ask you, as a major hoophead, has anything so far in this tournament blown you away?
No, I just, like I said, I think I'm just kind of disappointed, although I knew this time was going to come, right? I just knew it. I see it from this level, doing mid-major basketball, where, you know, anytime you got anything to be excited about, even if it's just the guy who's going to be good in your conference, you know, somebody from the Big East or the ACC or whatever conference is going to come take it from you, for more money. And sometimes it's not more money. They think it's more money, and then they find out it's not when they get there, which is kind of sad. That's happened a couple occasions at this school that I deal with. But anyway, it's just so I'm not – yeah, I mean, I just think it's happening fast. And now that we're getting this settlement taken care of and everybody's going to have their rev sharing stuff set up, it'll be interesting. I think what will be fascinating to me over the next season will be to see, you know, with some of these schools, like George Mason's one of them, obviously Virginia Commonwealth's the other one, VCU, that don't have football, you know, and they put basketball as a priority. I mean, do you get any type of advantage from that? I mean, although they're not in a Big East or an ACC or a Big Ten, you know, or any of those conferences, but they're in the, you know, the Atlantic 10, where it's very basketball is the number one sport. Is there a way for those schools to kind of find a way to be maybe close to as competitive as some of these other major, you know, conferences when it comes to putting their money and their revenue in there for basketball only, because they don't have to worry about football?
Mm-hmm. Talking with Scott Jackson, Sports Radio 94.1. Scott, with this situation that's taken place at Maryland, and obviously the revenue sharings from the Big Ten Conference, a major part of this, part of that new contract negotiation, how does this situation in turn affect maybe the relationship of Kevin Willard and the football program, Mike Locksley? And does Damon Evans leaving for SMU, I mean, would that make Locksley's leash even shorter now potentially as the head coach at Maryland? Because I think this could be a little bit of friction here amongst these two sides, because basketball, of course, with Kevin Willard is saying we need to be more prioritized than football has been recently.
Yeah, I mean, that's what all the basketball coaches are going to say, right? But I also think you have to understand that there is still an advantage if you're on one of these schools that has a big football program, because that's the money, the real money, what's going to come in. And, yeah, you got to fight for your cut, you know, for the basketball side of it, whatever that percentage is going to be. You know, and I think it's probably frustrating in Maryland where, although not that, you know, frankly, none of these last few coaches had anything to do with the success of the previous of Gary Williams era, but that's really what it was. People think of as the Gary Williams era, right? Of right. Basketball first before right. You think of any of these other football programs over the years. But heck, none of the guys involved now had anything to do with that. I mean, that's all Gary. So it's kind of funny to hear them talk about it. And it's, look, you got to strike with iron's hot. You know, Kevin's got the best team going right now. He had his best year. Doesn't mean he's going to have it again next year. And he knows that. And that's the frustrating part. That's the scary part for all these guys. I mean, you're going to have a great year and feel good about your kids. And even if you have lined up freshmen and, you know, guys for years to come, you think you don't know if they're going to be there. You don't know what's around the corner. The SEC has been spending, you know, like crazy, you know, getting guys. I mean, you know, I thought it was a real eye opener a few years ago, you know, when our guy here from DeMath, Hunter Dickinson, you know, he rolled for Michigan. I mean, the fact that Michigan can't afford their best basketball player, I mean, what world are we living in, right? I mean, but that's kind of, you know, how it went there with him going to Kansas.
How did you think it ended up? Because I didn't think he was a great investment.
I was never high on him. Well, it didn't work out. Look, he nailed it from the NIL standpoint, right?
And he made money.
Yeah. He played it from a business standpoint. But, yeah, in terms of the player, I thought there was more there. I mean, Earl Timberlake had a hell of a career, same class or same team, who just finished up at Bryant last night as well. And I thought Earl got better. But, yeah, I thought, Hunter, this was not a great year for him overall. You know, to the end, the way it ended was tough. But, anyway, it's just weird. I understand where he's coming from. I don't know if there's friction between the two programs there at Maryland or what's really – I don't know. That's above my pay grade, so to speak. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes. But they definitely – I agree that there's probably – I think right now with the thing with Willard is he just understands the timing of it, knows how precious this is, and he's got another opportunity, you know? And that's the other thing. His name's out there as other opportunity, so you got to strike while you can here. And he's just trying to get his point across here before the new administration is set in. But, yeah, I mean, if there's a new AD, everybody's, you know, everybody's situation's different. Football, basketball, baseball, whatever. I mean, it's all different if you get a new AD and that didn't hire you. So, yeah, I think it is a unique situation that's going on right now. And, like I said, I think in years past we'd never heard about this. You'd have agents handle this kind of stuff. We wouldn't even know. But now, man, it is
– it was on blast.
Yeah, this is what
we
do now.
Couldn't wait to get your – take. I didn't hadn't heard it on the Crab Five.
I like the name. I think it's original. It's regional. I think it's awesome. But they've been really good. Like that five.
They are.
You know, again, they're that is the strength of that team. If those guys play well together, They got a chance to be dancing here. They could get to San Antonio. I don't think there's any question about that. I think this year they're worth the hype. You know, I think there's some years past. There's some people that you and I work with that tend to overhype the team. That, you know, when they're really not up for it. But I think this year they're up for it. And they're playing a 12 seed, for goodness sakes. It'd be actually be embarrassing if they don't get to the 16 at this point. They should get to that, to the bare minimum, get to the 16. But so I think they're worth it, man. They've been good. Now, the one part is, you know, they haven't been great in these tight games. That worries you a little bit. But I think overall it's been a really, really good year. And I understand a lot of this business that's going on now. It's just that's what it is.
Now, and finally, your report card on your other interests, and that is the Commanders, because obviously we all had a season that we loved and appreciated. Now we understand there'll be a little more temperature put up on us. Yeah. I don't think anybody took it for granted, but you know that now you come in as the hunted, and there'll be no surprises. And I just wonder how you grade your off seasons before anybody even gets in the facility. It just feels like to me we have a little bit more talent in the room.
I think so. I mean, if you'd have told me going into the offseason they were going to come out with an all-pro level left tackle, I would have been like, who, what, how, you know, and how many number one picks is that going to cost you? And it didn't. It cost picks, but it didn't cost you ones. It didn't just gut your draft this year. I think they're doing some smart stuff with – they're bringing guys in – in terms of the traded guys, the two guys they traded for, and really three if you count Lattimore, they have a lot to prove still, right? Like, they were basically said by their other organizations, they didn't think enough of you anymore. There's not as much guaranteed money. Obviously, they guaranteed Debo's deal for this year, most of it. But he's still going to be ultra-motivated. I think he's heard all the noise in San Francisco that he's lost it, and he doesn't have the juice, and Tunsil's heard that he's...
Well, he ran his mouth in the last week.
Yeah.
And then, he got put in checkmate.
Yep, and then Tunsil's heard that, you know, he's not tough enough against the run, you know, as a run blocker, and doesn't worry, you know, isn't the dog he could be. He's sloppy with his technique this year with all his penalties, and you know, in Lattimore, you know, has been called out since the end of last year, you know, after the Evans game, really, in Tampa against Tampa. So I think all those guys, you know, should be getting them ultra motivated. They haven't given up a ton in terms of money with any of these contracts. I mean, I know the Ken Law one is probably the only one that seems a little higher than you would have expected, but there's, again, a lot of one-year show-me kind of approach this. They kept the priority guys they wanted to keep, you know, and Wagner and Ertz for sure, and then a lot of the depth guys, you know, with Noah Brown obviously coming back. I thought that was, you know, he was very impactful, as you know, when he was in the field. That you just got to keep him on the field. He drew a lot of PIs. You know, he was an influencer with the flag and with the deep ball, so... I think they've done some good things there. I'm curious to see where they what areas they hit in the draft. Still looks like there could be some pass rush help needed, and it's a really good running back draft, man. There's some 1 through 3 down backs in that draft that really could change some things. And I know we got a pretty crowded running back room, but you know how that goes, man. You're always looking to upgrade. Like the Eagles, they never are satisfied, you know, with what they have. So I think you got to kind of take that same approach, you know, going into this thing. But I think it's been a very encouraging offseason, and you nailed it, though. Everything starts from square one. I mean, even Philadelphia starts over. They lost a lot of important players on their defense, and they made, you know, you have to make choices. You can't keep everybody. They made some business decisions there, and they feel like they can replace people, and they've shown in the past they've been really good at it, so why wouldn't you believe them? And, you know, the Commanders won a lot of one-score games last year, last-second games. My goodness, I mean, it was more last year than we had in our previous lifetime, it felt like, so... You know, again, they start from square one now, and everybody's going to be, you know, keeping their eyes close to this quarterback, and they expect a lot of it. I would be expecting that he'll come into the season and be very good again, because I think that's who he's been for a long time. I don't buy into this, like, suddenly the world's figured him out just because they saw him for, you know, full season and 3 playoff games. My God, they had all year to adjust to him, and, you know, they'll get a chance to adjust, too, with some of the new talent they brought in. They're not going to be exactly the same as they were last year either.
Yeah, well, I have to pass this message to you from Big Tony, who's having his annual wild game buffet today, where they have raccoon and squirrel rat and all the other stuff that they're baking, barbecue, whatever the hell they're doing for it. And so we wanted me to pass that along to you as he continues to make excuses about why the Steelers would be, you know, have another winning season. So I told him I'd pass that along to you.
I appreciate that. Well, hopefully they'll get a quarterback figured out sooner or later. If they get Aaron out of the darkness, I guess he went and visited
yesterday.
Yeah,
I'm hoping it's Rodgers. That would be hilarious.
Oh, God. It's the most un-Steeler thing in the history of Steeler things, by the way, if it happens. I mean, it will be. It just feels very desperate. But, hey, at this point, why not? Boy, that will be something.
Yeah, I'm praying for that. We'll let you get back to Arkansas and St. John's. Appreciate you.
Thanks, man.
Tapping in, man. The DMV loves you. We do, too. And can't wait to hear you again. Thank you.
All right, Doc. Take care.
You got it. Scott Jackson. And bringing it, as always, man, my broadcast partner. And Big Tony, those messages are good. You know, Ben, we're going to bring you along slowly. But you'll get a chance to meet all the characters.
I'm looking forward to it.
But Big Tony is one that there's no way for us to prepare you for him. You just have to take him raw. And then we'll explain to you later. To that, we go to break. And once again, we can't thank our good friends at Rood, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV, for providing that good brother to us, as always, Scott Jackson. Back in a moment. Shout out to Brother Massenburg, Scott Jackson, Lou Holder. Coach Sheehan, when he comes off the 18th hole, I don't know, he may even take a break. He may have the caddy pull the cart around and do it from the cart. That'd be cool. We'll take it any way it goes. Positive day today. Talking hoops. Very enjoyable with the Wizards. That was encouraging. And Ben, you get introduced to the mob, which is some of it. Well, you know what? You didn't get the worst of the group today. As a matter of fact, you got upper crust, which is good. It's good on your maiden voyage. You have no G from the G from the shop. I didn't think you'd hear from G today. It's probably good. It was just this is overwhelming for him. Basketball on top of basketball, and he just might be out of it completely.
The Canines.
Arkansas open for St. John's. For those of you that don't have the courtesy of a television or radio in the free world, was there one particular game outside of the Terrapins that you had an interest in?
I'm trying.
Because I say that because sometimes this is so overbearing. There's so many games that you may have your alma mater may have interest, but other than that, you may have very little to no interest in it.
Well, you know what the best game is going to be, actually, Doc? Houston and Gonzaga is going to be a phenomenal game because those are two
Speed
programs.
Efficiency.
Those are two programs. If you see them in the tournament, you're just tempted to see them making a run. Houston is almost always in the picture. Come second, third weekend, Gonzaga the same way, and Gonzaga should not have been an 8 seed this year. If you look at any bracketology that was done, the metrics that go in, the how teams are efficient in the net offensively and defensively, Gonzaga was top 10 in those categories. So there was no way they should have been an 8 seed, and this is an awful draw for Houston to have to play them in the round of 32. I'm excited to see it, though, because obviously I don't have a dog in this fight, so I just want to see some good basketball.
Yeah, and everybody, well, I haven't heard anybody to say they don't love Houston. But when have I not heard that? There's something about the style of play, and they'll get those exotic athletes. Almost sounded like no for a moment. But he's right in that. They always have quick twitch athletes that attack the rim, but I don't see them ever hanging around the winner's circle. So that's what I'm waiting on.
Yeah,
I'm waiting on one of these predictions to come to fruition, to see them in the end. And that's what makes this thing so beautiful. How do you, quote, avoid elimination? That's what this is about. How do you avoid elimination?
That's all it
Same
is.
Same thing like with Duke. Had you not seen Duke play, I mean, I absolutely thought Flag had a cast on his foot. Did he show any signs of ever being injured?
No.
Whether or not he'd play. Anybody who's ever had an ankle knows that you feel a certain way and you look a certain way until you don't. I didn't see any signs that this kid had ever even stumped a toe.
I mean, he's
incredible. And I know they don't stick needles in you at that age.
He's incredible. And when he went down, the selfish mentality in me was thinking about his basketball future because I need to see him playing in the district. This Wizards team, the young core that's been rolling recently, you get Cooper Flagg on the floor. That's a playoff team next year, and maybe then some. Cooper Flagg would take this team to another level. But then again, if you're just looking at it from a basketball perspective as a fan, you see him play in the tournament, this Duke team, I mean, they're going to be a tough out. I took Maryland to beat Duke in the national championship, and that's the homer in me, picking Maryland. And not to say that I don't think Maryland can make a run to San Antonio, because I think they absolutely do have the talent to do it. It's just a matter if they can get through, if they do win tomorrow, if they can get through a team like Florida or UConn, who I think will actually put up a pretty good fight with the Gators.
Yeah, Gators, eyeball test, result, I mean, just ballers. And UConn, who I can't get enough for Hurley. I just love the way, because I don't think any of it's fake. He's a bona fide, legitimate lunatic. But he's 24/7. There's no act whatsoever. Loves his crew. Lives for it. And the way he goes after it, and it's a, you know, part of that football, basketball, baseball, track and field, soccer, whatever lineage, when it's a family business thing. How do you not become what he is? He believes in them, and they believe in him. Now, I think there's a difference between big and tall. So I don't give every tall guy, I don't call him a big. I call him a tall. And then there's bigs. He's got a big. To me, if they utilize him more in the league, there are a lot of talls.
There's a big difference.
His big?
And a big.
Oh, my goodness. Because, see, the one thing about the NCAA, there's no answer for bigs. We've seen a lot of teams that, to me, are average with talls. That boy from Kansas is tall. From DeMatha, then went to Michigan. He's making a torture. Ton of money. His team's never the last one playing.
He's done now, too.
He's not done, son. He's been to go make more money.
He's done in college, finally, which...
But the people he's going to play with, he's not going to win nothing.
Yep.
Because you talk about being ordinary. Once he goes to the NBA, where there's a whole bunch of people like him, they're tall. He's going to be ordinary.
Do you think he's an NBA-bound player? Because I'm not sure. I'm not so sure about that.
Oh, yeah. There's a bench he can fit on. He reminds me of somebody that ended up in Phoenix, Portland. I used to say Orlando, but no longer that now. Orlando's got some ballers. There's a spot for him. Believe me. He's just tall. Tall, you can make a lot of money just being tall. But this dude at UConn, I was like, oh my goodness. Big boy, if they feed him, he got a shot. That's the only thing to me I've severance that separates you. Now, Flag, yeah, he's different. He's an alien. He's an alien. But there's not that many of them. You know, that's why I love Humpty Dumpty in the NBA. Joker's tall and big and athletic and freakish. There's nothing he can't do. Nothing. And the best control he had.
No.
Never.
Absolutely not.
Never.
Doc, I got a question about the subject of this, of the idea of a big versus a tall.
Okay.
Juju Reese, really good game yesterday. He stepped up in a big way when they were struggling early on. There have been so many times in his four-year career at Maryland, and all the credit to him for staying with Maryland through a head coaching change in this era, which is unheard of. He has been a great Terp, but there have been times where he gets the ball into the basket and I go, just be dominant. Go up and dunk the basketball.
Yeah.
And I think he's lacked that aggressive, that killer instinct at times. Do you agree with me on that? Do you feel like he's more of a tall than a big?
If there's ever a question, and that was an excellent point by you, in a tweener in that, but he is so talented. He has big moves and tall moves. He's working with the offhand. He can go either way. He's really versatile, and I think he can be a dangerous pro. It still worked because he was patient enough to let his game develop. But I feel what you're saying. If he'd add some thump to his game, if we could put some Tabasco, some hot sauce in his grits,
I love
like
the
his
guy.
His sister has a nasty streak.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about. A little pepper in his grits. And he's going to be fine. Because he can fit. He's silky smooth and all that. But yeah, great point. We're looking through the same glasses, same vision.
Think about it this way, Doc. When you have a big that's just so physical, whether it's on the glass defensively or just on the interior when you give him the
ball
in the low block.
I can't say I will say give him effective. You know what?
Absolutely.
Let's save this for Coach Sheehan.
He's good.
Yeah. Let's save this for Coach Sheehan because these are questions that he's paid for.
And you're not,
but it's a great one.
You're not wrong about that.
Because I think the difference between Maryland's success, Maryland's ability to cut down nets, really relies on, love the guard play, love the guys there. I like everything else about them. But these two guys, because it's going to take both of them, but they're going to have to be bigs, and they're going to have to force some issues in the paint, and they can control their destiny because they have other skills that give them such versatility. Yeah, that's what I think their superpower is, and the Crab Five thing. Because once you get something like that that unites you and your base, and it just grows. I mean, dude, we've seen it before. There's something about it, and it wasn't like made up. They've grown into it. Makes a lot of sense. I know they wish they got more out of the bench. Maybe they don't need it because of the difference in, you know, NCAA time changes and timeouts and the games extended so they can make more money off advertising. Who knows? And then maybe we're just homers. And maybe we're just talking like this because we want to see this happen. And I'm not apologetic for that at all.
Hey, I'm having
fun,
Doc.
Yay, man, look at Coach Sheehan at the top of the hour. He will be a guy that can answer all these questions and more for us. So we'll take a break on that. The MGM National Listener Line is 1-800-636-1067. Back in a moment. I love our broadcast teams in town. That's really when you're on our side of the business. We spend a lot of time listening to the broadcasters. And when they're good on and off the mic, it makes our lives so much easier. And we know, because at one point in time, you are currently a broadcaster as well. I have been one, that the product can't control us because we have a job to do whether they're good or not. You don't just get to do teams that are successful. When I hear John's calls, I mean, you never really know. I don't know what it sounds like. It's every game is a playoff game. That's the level of intensity, the way he sounds. I just love it. I mean,
Doc, you know who his best comparison broadcaster-wise is?
Who?
If I had to compare him to anyone, he's exactly like Kevin Harlan for me.
You know, Harlan, who I have had the pleasure of working with, our last game we did was where Eli Manning was at Ole Miss. And I just remember that he is some guy, when you hear it, you don't even know who's playing, but you know it's a big game because it sounds big.
Yep.
That's what John, to me, Walt, it just sounds big.
It's just him and Harlan. Any game that those two are calling, they make every single play exciting. Yesterday, sounds we saw big. Ball got deflected out of bounds to Harlan, and he was commentating it himself. I mean, I'm not trying to go off on a tangent here about how great I think Kevin Harlan is, but Doc, the Capitals.
But it sounds big.
The Capitals are playing big games right now. They're winning big games, and Ovechkin. Yeah. Is on the cusp of history. I mean, it doesn't get any better for a guy like John calling these games.
What about this? And if Ted pulled this, whoever did it deserves all the credit in the world. Then now, whenever this happens, and it will happen, but when it does, you'll hear Beninati. You'll hear if the locker's back in place, if Maid's in play. You'll hear the Capitals broadcast team on call. Awesome.
That had to happen. It had to.
But no. Some clubs wouldn't have done it. You think the Bengals would have done that?
I wouldn't be able to tell you the answer to that question.
Yeah, I can tell you. No. No, it wouldn't happen.
Yeah, wouldn't I mean, happen. I got
heard,
a lot
you
of...
You heard Kevin Willard said he couldn't even spend Christmas with his team. In New York. He wasn't in Las Vegas. He wasn't in San Francisco trying to get back to College Park. He was in New York.
College is a whole different animal. I can't even comment on the financial situations
but I'm just saying,
in college.
The puck and the significance. There's another thing, too, about chasing individual records. In the midst of team success. Love it.
And we didn't think that was going to happen a year or two ago. It seemed like Ovechkin had maybe lost a step, and the team wasn't doing so well, nearing a rebuild. And you start to think, I kind of hate that we might see Ovechkin limp his way to this record at some point. But no, he is coasting. He's flying in. The team is flying. And everybody is getting bought in. The playoffs are coming back around. We have it good in the D.C. area right now. Let's be honest about that, Doc. There have been a lot of years, especially in my life, because I'm a young guy, where we didn't have nothing. We didn't have anything going for us. Maybe into the 2010s.
Man, how old are you?
I'm 21. I went through some years where...
Hold a bit. Well, it might make you legal. Okay, good. All right. I mean, you know, Big L calls himself the youngest in charge. He's 27. You're 21. Toby's 26. So we've got people there that are much younger and equally as talented, and yet he keeps calling himself that, which is ridiculous, but that's okay.
He actually referred to me as the youngest in charge. I had him on the show that I host at school. I introduced him as the youngest in charge, and he was like, "Oh wow, what an introduction! You're the newest youngest in charge now." But now that's
he admitted it.
That's his name, Doc. I go by Orange Chicken, and that's my name. I'm 21 years old, and I'm gonna just roll with that. Linnell Big L.
Well, that's okay.
He's the youngest in charge.
You may never hear me call you that, but if you had him on. And he did it. Good for you. I'm proud of you. But I wanted him to understand it. And he won't understand it. But that's okay. I still respect the hell out of him because he's talented. You respect talent. But at 21, and I was told Toby, it took me forever to get Toby to take his rightful spot. Because he was reluctant to take his rightful position as the youngest in charge. And finally, he broke through.
Why not?
I don't know. I'm a pretty good judge of character. And I'm like, but that's okay. Because I don't want to be a bad influence. One of the responsibilities of aging is that you be a positive influence on youth. Now, I would say some things to Linnell, which I've said some things to Linnell. I would never say to you because he's old enough to be able to deal with it. But I would never. If you never told me you were 21, I would never have known that, which is a tribute to your parents and people that have influenced you. That's amazing. You've done an outstanding job.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
What was your guess for how old I was?
Huh?
What was your guess for how old I was?
Well, hell, you sound older than Linnell, so I would think.
I sound older than Linnell?
To me, you do. Yeah, to me, you do.
I don't, so, maybe it's perspective. I don't know.
I would say 20. Well, no, Toby. I it took me a while to get Toby to flex. He's a terrifically talented young man. And Grant and Danny, an outstanding listen. They swooped on it. And rightfully so. He's an intricate part. They're doing a hell of a job. He was in the baseball podcast with Grant. And now they've given him what he's earned. And I love it because it's a great listen. And they do some incredible things with their show and their format and how they travel and work things in. And he loves the scene. I love baseball, too. So the baseball, and it's hard. Baseball's hard. It's hard. Because if you're my age, which is closer to 100 than 20, it's what I grew up with. It was the equivalent of the NFL. So if you're born in the 50s, and grew up in the 60s, the baseball was as popular as today's NFL in my lifetime, in my youth. Anybody talk about the NFL when I was growing up? It was MLB. It was baseball. It was a glove. It was a bat. It was your cleats. You trying to get elastic, you know, in your socks. You trying to figure out how to stretch your hair and sanitary. It was baseball, man. Baseball.
I'm steamed up that baseball season starting this week, Doc. I know you're a big Dodgers guy, but my Nationals, I think they're going to win some games this year.
Oh, I love Nats too.
No, I know you do.
I don't think you should ever abandon your childhood experience.
No. That's why I'm glad I'm staying here, Doc.
You should. Yeah, well, you know, but you won't end up here. You may end up in Seattle.
That's true.
Working. You may end up in New Jersey for a living, but I don't think you should. I think it's sacred to whatever was your first love in sports. That's what, when I, every time I said Union 76 slogan, which was the Dodgers promotional vehicle, and it was styrofoam, and once you got a car, when you got to 16, you put that on your antenna. But at the time, and that's why marketing matters, that's why for the Nats, it had been held hostage by Baltimore.
You don't understand how many arguments I've got into with people over the past couple years because the Orioles got good all of a sudden. They rebuilt for 5 years like how the Nationals have been doing. The Orioles get good, and my friends, people I know, all of a sudden they're supporting the Orioles. And I go, you can't do that. You can't support both teams. And they're like, why not? I was like, because Baltimore is trying to keep Washington down, and they do it successfully through this Masson situation. You can't be a fan of both teams. Pick a side. I was so sick of it. I'm thrilled that the Nationals are finally getting out of this, getting the ability to get its broadcasting autonomy finally. This is a big, big deal. And I think a lot of people still don't even really realize it, but I think the club's best days are ahead.
Well, they don't, because the way we're marketed, you don't realize when there was on, when you have a Oreo store on K Street or F Street or L Street, whatever, in the right in the middle of the District of Columbia, and that was normal. When I got here, because I loved baseball, going to Memorial Stadium was an honor. Seeing Rifkin, Palmer, Murray, you out of your mind? Yeah, I'm going. Not, and no hesitation for it. 33rd Street, no hesitation. Then you hear people here, and I hear these soft members of the Burgundy and Gold. Well, I'm not going if it's not in my bag. Drive. But again, Orange County to L.A., Coliseum is 50, 60 miles. It's normal. You don't bitch about going somewhere to see a program that's iconic. You may have some problems with it dealing with it if it's a startup. But to me, going to see the Orioles? Are you kidding me? No problem. But that's the difference in it. We didn't have a team here.
Absolutely.
But once you get a team, and then when that's why I tell the story all the time about Al Kokin, talking about saving the cap. Now when I say they were trying to save the caps, we're on the verge of losing a hockey club. Kokin made that very clear to me. And I knew, being in Los Angeles with Dr. Jerry Buss, and he would reference to me about, you got to understand the importance of L.A. having the Kings. I didn't get it. And these people are visionaries. He was saying, you can't do that. And now, as we embark on what we hope to be this legendary, seven goals away from Gretzky, that's what I think about. I think about the Rooster, Chris Russell, who's remained passionate throughout the, way before it was popular. Russell was beating the drum. Out of sheer legitimacy about a competitive, highly skilled sport that is awesome. You just got to invest in it and learn and try to understand it. And when you see the effort and the skill set that's put forth, and those two guys between them pipes, and what they've been able to do. And I learned now, as I, and again, still eating pablum, still have a bib around my neck. But understand, when that puck is on our end and I see our guys laboring and they don't give up goals. And you understand, why is it that everybody that has an emphasis defensively, and no matter what the sport, has a chance to be a champion? And nobody that doesn't does. You don't. That's why we started off today with Massenburg, and we were talking about the Wizards, and in praise and favorably. Why? Because they finally started to what? Defend. What are we talking about with March Madness? Who's the teams that defend? But yet the defender of the year is never the highest paid in the ecosystem. Defense wins championships. It's interesting. Interesting how we think. Hey, look, we speak with a forked tongue. All I suggest we do is just admit it. Just admit it. Don't tell me about what's so important, then you don't want to pay for it. It makes no sense to me. I take honor in alerting. I think we do have a G from the shop sighting. Got to take a break. We'll be back. Don't forget, Coach.